This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, it's VSiN, the sports betting network. We are going to welcome in our partner, Aaron Halterman, of course, racingdudes.com, dudes who bet on sports at racing_dudes. And for now, this week, I can say we're going to make history during this segment. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. I can say we're going to make history because coming up at the end of the segment, we're going to have a pick in race five from Remington Park. You listening, Steve Cohen? We're betting Remington on Sharp Money and VSiN. It's a 9:26 post time. So we'll hold on to that for a second. Got a couple of baseball plays from one of the sharpest to do it, Mr. Halterman. But we should start with, we are just 2 days away from the Traverse and Torpedo Anna. Let's get an update. Where do we stand with the Traverse?
Yeah, it's the race of the year. We've been hyping it up for 3 weeks, and we finally can talk about the actual race because it's been drawn. It drew a field of eight. Going to be happening this Saturday, like you said, at Saratoga, race 13 on the card. Now, believe it or not, Torpedo Anna was not made the morning line favorite. The morning line favorite's actually number 7, Door Knock, who won the Belmont Stakes and the Haskell Stakes back-to-back races. I kind of understand it. I do think the public will make Torpedo Anna the favorite, though. So she's sitting right now at 3-1. You're probably going to get about 2-1 would be my guess. But she looks awfully good to me. This is a great race. I think there's 4 horses, Torpedo Anna, Sierra Leone, Door Knock, and Fierceness, that have a big shot. And then there's 4 that I don't really think have that much of a chance. But those 4 headlining horses, Patrick, they're fantastic.
Those are, and again, we're so close to the sport, and mostly you and Samich, so oftentimes we can be critical of the sport. I would say those are 4 tremendous horses. Like, this is a hell of a field.
It is fantastic. You have the best 3-year-old female in the country by far, Torpedo Anna. And then Door Knock, you know, the 3-year-old males were wide open, but Door Knock's kind of stamped himself. I mean, you win the Belmont and the Haskell. Those are 2, obviously, most people know the Belmont, but the Haskell's a huge race as well. You win both of those, you're pretty darn good. And then, like you said, you have Fierceness. If you watched any of our Kentucky Derby coverage, you kind of know he's either unbelievably good or unbelievably bad, but the good Fierceness is fantastic. And then Sierra Leone, he's just kind of that horse that's always around with a shot at the end. He has to come from behind. That's always his kind of big problem. But man, these 4 horses, it's about as good as you could do here in the summer. Anytime you get that male versus female situation, it's always, you know, just extra special. So yeah, I mean, seriously, we can hype it all we want. This is the best race of the year so far, without any debate, in my opinion.
It's not even close. You framed it perfectly. If we could bet some fixed odds and I can get 3-1 on Torpedo Anna right now, I'd be in, my friend.
Oh, 100%. And if I get 2-1, I'm going to be in on Torpedo Anna, guys. Look, here's the deal. I have one fear for her, and this is it. She has blown away the competition so easily in the races against the females. She gets next to a horse, she blows by him by 4 lengths, and she never sees him again. The only question mark I have is, what is going to happen? Because I am very confident she's going to make that same move where she's going to go up and take the lead, or try to take the lead. What will happen when the horse next to her fights back? I call it the eyeball test. If she gets looked in the eye, is she going to dig down a little deeper and be able to get the job done, or will that bother her? I think that's the only question. Other than that, I don't think there's any worries. The talent's there. She can get this distance. She's just as good as these horses. She's never been challenged, and that'll be the question she's got to answer on Saturday, and we don't know until it happens what's going to happen.
And that's what makes racing the best. And if she does beat this field, she's going to be, the conversation's going to start about just how special she is. That's fair to say, correct?
Absolutely. I think if she wins this race, she will be the horse of the year. And the horse of the year is voted on for all ages, all, you know, male, female, everybody. Everybody can win the horse of the year, any category. I think if she wins the Traverse, she's going to be horse of the year. You look at how she's just run through all the female big races for 3-year-olds. I mean, just dominating. If you can come beat a horse like Door Knock, who's stamped himself as a major, you know, horse in this country, and then beat these other ones that aren't slouches either, if you can do that, I think she's entering horse of the year territory. I think that's all from like a rooting interest. That's what we want to see. But again, she's going to have a tougher time. Will she respond to the pressure? That's going to be the big key.
Now, Dustin Swedelson, you do know who's part of the Dornock ownership group, correct?
I'm just going to guess Mike Rapoli because he's the only one I know.
Jason Wirth.
Oh, yeah.
The cantankerous Nat.
He wears cool outfits and hats.
Yeah, Dustin's got a crush on Jason Wirth. That's why I brought it up. He likes the lettuce. He likes the hat. It's a whole thing. And we won't get into it, but I'm just stating facts.
Not denying.
If Torpedo Anna, the filly, wins the Travers, will we see her in the Breeders' Cup Classic?
That's a really good question that I'm not 100% sure the answer on. So here's why I think yes. If you win the Travers, you stamp yourself as the best three-year-old in the country, pretty much, period. And then the best three-year-old in the country usually goes to the Classic. So, like, for example, Dornock, Fierceness, Sierra Leone, they'll be there, right? The only reason I pause for a second is there is a race called the Breeders' Cup Distaff that is restricted just to female horses. It's less of a purse, so it's less money, but she would have a much better chance as in a probably be a heavy favorite to win that race, where if she runs in the Classic, she might be a favorite, but it's going to be, you know, it's even tougher. It's older male horses there as well. So there's a little bit of debate on what's going to happen, but I think if she dominates the Travers, I think you'll see her in the Classic. If it's a close race or she loses, I think she'll back up and kind of go to the Distaff.
It'll be it. If she wins the Travers, the connections will have a fascinating decision to make. A fascinating decision, because the Breeders' Cup Classic, that is the Super Bowl. All right. Great breakdown. Thank you for that. Let's get to your two baseball plays and we'll get to Remington Park. You like the O's, the Orioles laying a run and a half plus 135.
Yeah, I'm going to lay the run and a half at plus 135, with the big kind of handicap for me is Corbin Burns was just pathetic in his last game against Boston. He couldn't get anybody out, and I just feel like he will bounce back tonight, and I expect a good game from him. And then the other side of it, you've got Arrigetti on the mound for the Astros. The Astros have been hot. The Astros definitely have made a big surge. They're now huge, you know, like five games up in their division. But Arrigetti's still been pretty average through all of this, if not bad. So I think the pitching matchup is so favorable. And I think it comes down to Burns. If he bounces back, I think this is going to cash. I'm out of the two we're going to talk about, this is the one I'm most confident in. Burns bounces back. The Orioles get this done.
And the Phillies with Sanchez are at Atlanta. You're going to take a shot, get a good price, lay a run and a half plus 150.
Yeah, this is just kind of more of a price play. I'm not as confident in this one. Like you said, Sanchez on the mound, you kind of know what you're going to get out of him. At times, he can kind of elevate his game and be even better. If you get the good version of Sanchez, I think this thing cashes. Schellenbach on the other side for the Braves, he's just average. I mean, that's really just the best thing you could say about him. He's not terrible, but you know this Phillies offense, they're going to get a few runs. I just kind of looked at this and said, okay, if the Phillies win this game, I think it's by multiple runs. I don't really see a close game if the Phillies are the winners because of the Schellenbach situation. And look, this Braves team, I think you do have to give them credit for hanging in this thing after all the injuries they've had. But I simply think Philadelphia is better, and I think this is another game for them to kind of just separate themselves. The division's kind of on lock anyway. They can really put it on lock if they get this win and kind of keep going. So I think it's a good situation to take a nice price here and lay the run and a half and hope that they can get to Atlanta early, and then hopefully Sanchez is on his game tonight.
Now, again, we might be sickos, but my opinion is if you're not betting Remington Park on a Thursday in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, what is wrong with you? And it's time to bet. And we've got a 9:26 Eastern post time for race 5, Remington Park, Mr. Halterman.
Yeah, my proudest moment on VSiN coming right now, giving out this Remington Park play, guys. I love Remington Park. So just to kind of give you an idea of what kind of Patrick's talking about, we talked about Saratoga. So think about Major League Baseball. Saratoga is the major leagues. Remington Park's like AA baseball, let's call it, right? It's not the worst. I wouldn't call it AAA either. It's kind of right there in the middle. So think about going to a AA baseball game or betting a AA baseball game. That's kind of what Remington Park is. A great track down in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And we're going to go to race 5 to the 4 horse tonight, Prince Rama. That's my best bet of the day in horse racing. This is a horse that's been running at other double A and kind of single A tracks as well, down in Lone Star at, in Dallas, Texas, and then Sam Houston down in Houston, Texas. He's been running at this level and running extremely well. He's won three out of his last five races. Those three races that he won were very similar to what he's in today. Same distance as well, going a mile today at Remington, which is kind of where he's best at. So to me, he gets out of the gate. He gets the lead tonight. Remington Park is a track. If you can get the lead, it's usually hard to run down a pretty good horse on the lead there at Remington. So yeah, the four horse Prince Rama in the fifth race tonight at Remington. That's where you need to go if you're betting horses today.
You said it's your favorite moment on VSiN. I've been here for over 5 years. By far, you coming on this network and giving out a play at Remington, by far my favorite. And I will be betting race five. Thank you very much. Big guy, a little 6:26 post time my time. I'll be in front of the big screen. You feel me? Well, and I'll be betting Prince Rama, the four horse.
I know that it's a good race because when you guys were talking about the horses, I realized I'd heard of almost all of them.
No, that was the Traverse.
Oh.
We were just talking Remington Park in Oklahoma City. I guarantee you've never heard of a horse that's running tonight at Remington.
More on that track in closing tabs at the end of the show.
Oh, that's a good job. Hey, Traverse Weekend is huge at Saratoga. You have to go to racingdudes.com. If you are a new horse player or you're an advanced horse player, go check it out. Thank me later. Thank you, Aaron Halchman. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Go Birds. Go Redbirds. The Slew. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Just an update on the bet we've got going on up in Oakland. So, got two bets going on here. One looking good, and the other tenuous. The A's lead the Rays, a top of six, 3-1. We're under 7.5. I'm under 7.5. The big guy convinced me to get in on the A's. So, runner on first and second, top of six with one out. So, we could use a double play here. If we're talking Oakland, Sacramento, Las Vegas, A's, big guy.
Oh, well, yeah, and if you want to live dangerously, maybe you come back on the other side on Tampa Bay in game. Right now, plus 360 on the Rays. Take a little portion of the potential winnings on Oakland at plus 105 when we gave it out. Put it on that plus 360, and you can kind of not have any stress the rest of the way.
I'm just trying to get to the bottom of the 6-3-1. Then we'll be Gucci. We need a double play here.
Badly.
That's what we need. Do you have it on TV in front of you?
I do. I have it on three TVs, actually.
Wow, it's a very popular game.
I can't get away from this game.
Very, very popular game. You know what wasn't a popular? Now, the D is named after Detroit.
Oh.
You know, Derek Stevens' property.
I
bet they didn't have that 10-2 beatdown of the Cubs on or the TV earlier.
Oh, I thought it was named after something else. Detroit makes sense now. Okay.
Right. I won't press that. Detroit got pummeled by the Cubs 10-2.
I mean, they didn't announce a starter till like 2 hours before the game started.
Cards beat the Brewers 3-0. Yanks beat up on the Guardians 6-0. And the Curly Dubs, the Nats, beat the Rockies 8-3. I'm just trying to see if we're going to get out of this at bat here. Let's get out of the top of six. I've got it. 2-1 count.
It's not good.
1-2 count. One out. We'll keep it going.
Guy
we'll
on the bump.
Indy.
Can't find the zone.
All right. Take it easy. Indy, Cincinnati. That number hasn't moved since we got here tonight. Again, Indy will place the starters, at least for the first half. They're laying 6.5 full games, 6 in the first half over Cincinnati. Chicago and Kansas City. Westgate just went from 2 to 1.5 on the Bears. I do like the Bears in that game. Kansas City's just going to wrap it up and try to get to the regular season. Shh. Don't say anything. It's now time for 3-Point Stance.
The top stories in football.
We want some hope! We want some hope! We want some hope!
Every single day.
Ice up, son! Ice up!
This is 3-Point Stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
On Sharp Money.
Go play intramural.
Opportunity. Let you know what's happening around the NFL as we Dustin smiling for reasons unknown. Now, Russell Wilson is going to play tomorrow. And let me take a look at the number. I'm sure they're favored. Let's see. He is going to play at Detroit. Pittsburgh is laying 6.5. Pittsburgh at an offshore book is laying 7. Mostly everybody has it 6.5. Dan Campbell's not going to play anybody for Detroit. As far as the starters are concerned, I guarantee you don't see Penei Sewell, because there was a heart attack in the great state of Michigan yesterday when Penei Sewell left practice early with a foot. He is the best right tackle in all of football. They got out of the inning?
We're out of it. We got out of it. 3-1 still. Middle of the sixth.
Double play?
Athletics on top. I believe a strikeout and a pop out.
That is a tremendous job by me with positive vibes. Not a great job by you constantly living in fear.
Giving out the other side.
Pittsburgh needs to figure out what they're going to do with their quarterback, and I think that's where we're going to start here.
Yeah, and I will note that Mike Tomlin spoke a little bit ago to the media and said, quote, nothing's changed in terms of positioning of those guys, Wilson and Fields, and yes, Wilson will start the preseason finale. Russell Wilson spent some time with the Pittsburgh media yesterday, and they asked him about how things are going kind of poorly for him and the offense right now.
Absolutely not. You know, absolutely not, because the reason being, as I told you guys, is because of the level of practices we've had against one of the best defenses every day and how we've shown up there. So I think the best thing that we can do is, you know, just slow our minds down, you know, play really clean football, and also to, you know, enjoy the process, man. This is, you know, sometimes you're going to be in a game. There's going to be a time in this season where it's going to be the first quarter and we didn't score. And are we going to panic and worry? Absolutely not. We're going to win the game in the fourth quarter, and that's just what it's going to be. And that's the mentality you got to have.
My dream would be one day to have Thanksgiving at the crib and invite one person, Russell Wilson. And then I'm going to do something. I'm going to serve TV dinners. Take the film off, little turkey, little green beans. I'm going to put it in front of him. You know what he's going to say? Greatest dinner ever. I love Thanksgiving. This is the most special Thanksgiving I've ever experienced. I got to be honest with you. You're a stranger, but I love you. And this is a wonderful time to be alive. I don't know if it's authentic or fake, is what I'm saying. But he's never said anything negative.
That's what I feel bad.
Can't read into it.
I feel bad because he makes me feel gross on the inside, and it all might be real. Like, he might truly be this person who wants to put a positive spin on everything, but for some reason, every time he opens his mouth, I get disgusted. I get the vomit taste in my
that
throat.
That is a strong reaction.
No, I don't know why. I feel bad about it because if you just look at the words he's saying, he literally says everything and does everything you're supposed to do on the up and up, and I'm just not buying it.
Yeah, if you read the script, it's Abraham Lincoln. I mean, this guy's saving the world. I like that one.
Oh, he didn't save the world. He just saved people in the South, mostly. You taught me.
We could get into it, but probably not the time. Just quickly.
Yeah.
That offense is going to be horrific. And we continue to talk about it. It's 8.5 on the season win total on the Steelers. The dichotomy is that could be the best defense in football. If everybody stays healthy on the defense, look, as far as I'm concerned, there's three defenses right now to discuss. It's the Steelers, it's the Jets, and I'm missing one other.
Browns.
The Browns are going to be very good. San Francisco should be very good again. But I really do think it's the Steelers and Jets that I put at the top.
The Steelers don't have a weak spot. They added Patrick Queen and the corner Jackson from Carolina to address, I mean, corner was a need for them, but there is not a weak spot, and they're like too deep at a lot of key positions as well. I think Peyton Wilson, the kid they drafted out of NC State, is going to pop right away at outside linebacker. They'll probably use him in specific situations, but I really liked him out of NC State. The Steelers defense is going to be awesome, but the plan for this team for the last few years was keep it close, and in the fourth quarter, hopefully the offense makes a play to win it. And it's not really a sturdy approach when it comes to today's offensive football where teams are slinging it a ton and putting up a lot of points. The question is, does Russell Wilson have enough in the tank to do a little bit more than they were getting out of Kenny Pickett? At this point, I don't believe so.
Conversely, the Bills, and one of the big, if we're just talking defensively, you're going to hear from Josh Allen here, one of the big additions was bringing back Matt Milano. Now he's out indefinitely. That's not great.
Not so especially when they lost so many other pieces this offseason on that defense.
Correct, but we're going to hear from our buddy Josh Allen right now, big guy.
Where, look, he can start building excuses if he wanted. He could start being, you know, a little bit negative, right? But Josh Allen was asked, he's seeing all these other quarterbacks get paid now. Is he happy with his current contract?
Listen, everyone's going to have their day. And I'm happy that everyone's getting what they're worth, right? And I think that as the game progresses and guys keep getting paid, again, the market is the market. And I've got no problem with where I'm at right now. And, you know, I had my day a couple years ago, and I'm sure someday I'll have it again, you know. But I think the main thing is the main thing, and that's playing football to the best of my ability, and everything else will take care of itself.
Josh Allen doesn't need any money. He's dating Jerry Seinfeld's daughter.
Not Jerry Seinfeld's daughter. She has her own career, but unrelated. Her name's Steinfeld.
Genuinely thought her last name was Seinfeld. Now, maybe I was doing a little shtick with Jerry, but I didn't really know.
Allen is plus 850 for MVP.
Not exactly Meryl Streep.
Okay. Well, you also don't watch current movies. Every movie you watch is in black and white.
Fair.
So
not exactly not exactly Audrey Hepburn.
No, you'll catch up. She might be Audrey Hepburn. Good-looking gal. Allen's second shot on the board for MVP at plus 850. Don't you feel like the way things have shaken out with that offense, like no one's being asked to do more for a team's success than Josh Allen this year, where
yes.
850 is really short, but if they somehow don't skip a beat this year, all of the praise will go towards Josh Allen. He gets all the credit for uplifting everyone around him on that offense and making things happen.
I think what's fascinating is he's tied in the market with C.J. Stroud, and who we just discussed earlier, Burrow's 50 cents. He's 50 bucks at 9-1 behind them. If I'm just looking, let's go ahead and throw up the most valuable player odds. We're going to talk to a Colts insider coming back. If I'm just looking at the board, I'm looking to take a shot. Throw out Herbert. They're going to run the football. You know what I do? 30-1, Trevor Lawrence. Let's go, big guy.
You know what's funny? The two above him in order, all three jumped out to me. Goff 20-1, that shortened up, I'd still do it. Tua 25-1, and then Trevor Lawrence, why not 30-1?
Why the hell not? George Bremer, he's on the Colts beat in Indianapolis, and he joins us next. Okay, sharp money. The Colts close out their preseason in Cincinnati tonight. The Colts are laying 6.5 at most shops, 34.5 on the total. To discuss the Indianapolis Colts, George Bremer is going to join us here on Sharp Money. He's on the Colts beat for their Herald Bulletin. Does a great job at GM Bremer on Twitter. We say hi to George. George, thank you for the time. And we'll start here. The approach by Steichen and the Colts tonight in Cincinnati, it does appear we're going to see the starters.
Yeah, the plan right now is a quarter and a half or somewhere around there for most of them. He said there'll be, you know, select starters who maybe play a little less depending on just little nagging injuries and things like that. I also think some of it depends. There was some talk Tuesday that Cincinnati might not play their starters, so that might affect things too.
Yeah, Zach Taylor said he isn't going to play the starters. And so much of this, as you know, George, is about these scrimmages leading up to the preseason game. And speaking of the scrimmages, can you help us out nationally? Because we've heard varying reports. I know that you wrote Richardson finished practice strong recently, but we've heard he struggled. Can you give us some clarification on Anthony Richardson right now?
He definitely struggled early in that Tuesday practice with the Bengals. I think it was 3 of 11 at one point in 11-on-11 work and had thrown an interception. The Bengals' defense was getting pretty frustrated. I think they didn't like the fact he was running as much. Defense backs, you know, they want to see passes out there when you can't tackle. I don't really blame them. And they were not he wasn't sharp. It felt like it's really the only time we saw it all summer. It felt like the timing was off with the offense, and I'm not sure what was causing that. There were times where he threw the ball early. There were times where he threw the ball late. There were times where a receiver didn't seem to know what was coming. And then, you know, about an hour into that two-hour practice, they went into some situational work and he started pushing the tempo a little more. And he flipped the switch and went 7 of 10 the rest of the way and threw a touchdown. So it was almost like two different practices. And, you know, I don't know if I know that he, in general, has looked better when they go up-tempo. And I think some of that is just he's able to take more advantage of his natural athletic skill when they do that. But it was really ugly for about an hour on Tuesday afternoon.
George, so it's year two of Steichen and year two, of course, of Anthony Richardson. He's 22, but the skills, 6'4", you know, 240-plus pounds, so and can run. If he's healthy this year, what do you think Steichen envisions the perfect offense looking like for the Colts?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think they're going to push the tempo. I think they're going to run the ball a lot. I think they really feel like that combo of Richardson and Jonathan Taylor that they only got to see for two snaps last year, the entire season, that, I think, is what they feel like makes this offense special, where they have a chance to really attack other teams. And then you can combine that with Richardson's ability to extend plays and throw the ball deep down the field. They want to be a big chunk kind of offense. They want to be explosive. We've seen moments of that in training camp, but, you know, you want to take all that with a grain of salt because, obviously, there's no physicality out there right now. No one's getting taken to the ground. They feel good about this receiving core. It'll be interesting to see how that translates to games. You know Michael Pittman and what he can do. He's proven himself now over 4 years in the league. They really felt like Josh Downs was poised to have a big year. Unfortunately, he's going to miss at least the first game, maybe the first two, with an injury he got during training camp. And they really need to see a big jump from Alec Pierce. I think that's something that could help them go to that next level. But I think it's easy to forget this was a top 10 scoring offense last year with about half a season from Jonathan Taylor and only four games from Anthony Richardson. So the expectations are pretty high.
And that George Bremer joining us does a great job on the Colts beat. And that's exactly where I wanted to go with you. It felt like last year, 9 wins was ahead of schedule and pushing for a playoff spot. Does it, roster wise, do you believe the expectations are worthy this year?
They do. I think that's the important thing. Their internal standard has risen. You know, I think last year everybody was just sort of like, you're coming off a 4-win year. You really don't know what's going to happen. You have a lot of young guys playing in positions they haven't played before, and you've got a first-time head coach. So I don't think there was a lot of expectation at all, internally or externally. This year, they've made it pretty clear from the time they got together in April that their goal is to win the division. Can they do that? I think it's going to be a really tough ask. This Houston team is obviously extremely talented. I think they're a little bit further ahead in their rebuild or makeover, whatever you want to call it. You know, C.J. Stroud obviously is already showing that he can be one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And I think Jacksonville and Tennessee are going to make this a very competitive division. But the internal goal, the internal expectation for the Colts is to win that division for the first time since 2014. I think offensively, if Richardson stays healthy, if Taylor stays healthy, they have a chance to be one of the better offenses in the league. Defense is going to be the question. Front seven is very strong. That back group, specifically the safeties, a lot of youth there. They still aren't sure who's going to start alongside Julian Blackman. That's kind of concerning this late in the preseason. And I think when you look at this schedule, a lot of really high-end quarterbacks coming up. I think that's going to be the tale of the season for the Colts. Can those young defensive backs grow and do enough with the help from the front seven to win enough games for this team, or will they be the thing that kind of drags them down and keeps them in that sort of 9-8 zone they've been in for most of the last 4 or 5 years?
And that was going to be my next question. It feels like for maybe too long, the inconsistent secondary has been the issue for the Colts, and you feel like that is the big question mark defensively coming into the year?
Yeah, you've got two guys you can count on, and Kenny Moore and Julian Blackman have both had really good summers. But after that, everybody's kind of a question mark. Juju Brents, they really like his size, his physicality. They like his fit on paper in this defense, but he's another guy who only played about half a year last year as a rookie. Jalen Jones is somebody they feel really good about building off of a rookie year where he was a seventh-round pick and came in and earned a starting job, but again, hasn't done it week in and week out in the regular season. And, you know, they still don't know who the other safety is going to be. Nick Cross is in that mix, Ronnie Harrison, Rodney Thomas, who lost the job last year. To me, that's a lot of question marks in a league where you know, and especially in the AFC, where you know there are some really high-powered passing attacks.
George Bremer on the Colts beat joining us for a couple more minutes here talking about the Colts. So their win total is set at 8.5. Does that number feel fair to you, George?
Yeah, I mean, I think myself right now, I'm at 9 or 10. I mean, that's where they've been at. Again, I think so much obviously relies on the health of Anthony Richardson and his ability to take that potential and put it on the field. If he can be the player that they think he can be, then I think you could go over that number. If he gets injured or if this defense is not able to hold up, I think 8.5 is a really fair number.
Okay. Well, listen, so again, 1.5 is what you're expecting, but that could vary now based on Zach Taylor sitting everybody tonight. Fair?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how long you want to leave guys like Pittman, Richardson, Taylor out there. If the other defense has a bunch of guys trying to make the team, that might be a recipe for disaster.
Yep, well put. George Bremer, Herald Bulletin, covers the Colts. Thank you, George. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you during the season.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you very much. I want to give his Twitter quickly. He does a good job. He's constantly with the team. GM Bremer on Twitter. I know people are high on this team. Pause. I am not.
Oh.
No. Secondary outside of Kenny Moore stinks.
Yes.
Secondary outside of Kenny Moore stinks. And Richardson's 22. We have to relax a little bit. He needs to develop his accuracy, specifically on the touch passes. It's just not there yet. If Jonathan Taylor goes off, and they have a tremendous, everybody's returning out of that offensive front. So that's the strength of the line. I mean, that's the strength of the team, really, is defensively up front, linebackers, and offensively running the football behind that very good offensive line with Jonathan Taylor. If that happens, you can come off the run, and Richardson has a little easier time with it. I think that's an 8-win team. Other than that, no.
No, if it's going to work, it's going to be a very, very limited offense, right? If you're going to run the RPO, it's going to be a unique style of play, like kind of like RG3 that first year with the Shanahans in Washington. I imagine so. I don't think they're opening it up, even though I think Richardson has a big arm. Also, really solid receiving core. I think they're a little overrated in the division. I think in the AFC South specifically, we've come around way too hard on the other side with the Jaguars. The Jaguars slander is crazy. They ran this division for years, and all of a sudden everyone's like, Trevor Lawrence never going to put it together. He stinks. We're not going to calculate the fact that he had Urban Meyer as his first head coach in the league. Like, what are we doing here?
I'll put it this way. You flip the quarterbacks, I'll take the Colts. With those receivers, yes. Jonathan Taylor, play action with Trevor Lawrence,
yes.
Good offensive front, I'll take them. You keep them on the Jags, I'll take the Jags. It's as simple as that for me.
Yeah, the hype.
The upside on Richardson is who knows?
But that's down the road.
He's 22 years old. We're going to get out of the 7th, 3-1. With the A's leading the Rays. Let's go. We'll come back with some family plays. Sharp money. Okay, sharp money. So there were expectations for the Seattle Mariners this year, and it looks like they're going for the desperation as it's official. They fired Scott Servais. Seattle sits 64-64, 2-8 over their last 10. They're 7.5 out of that third wild card. Servais, he gone. And they're going to try to rally towards the end of the year. Your M's, big guy. Servais has been fired.
Well, they can't hit, and they blew a 10-game lead in the AL West to the Houston Astros, and the offense is just holding this team back. They're 1-5, great rotation. They'll match up with anyone, but if you can't score any runs, you're not going to get to the playoffs. It's a long season. You can't just win every game 1-0, 2-1. And Scott Servais is unfortunately going to be the scapegoat for the Mariners this year. I did get down on them 25-1 to win the World Series. I just believed with their pitching, if they got into the playoffs, things could set up nicely for them. But the bats have just never woken up. And even though it's not all Servais' fault, I think it's more on this front office, which is weird because it's normally a very aggressive front office led by Jerry DePoto. I thought they were going to get a couple more bats in there at the deadline. They added a Rosarena. They added Justin Turner, like the experience, but they needed a real middle-of-the-order guy and just didn't add that to this team. And right now they're outside looking in at the playoff picture and what's going to be a wasted season for an elite pitching staff.
Yeah, no disrespect, but I don't love your ticket.
No, it's dead. It's dead, and it's unfortunate because I think now it's going to lead to them having to trade Luis Castillo in the offseason. Castillo's been the ace, but Kirby and Gilbert have stepped up. Wu was great the other night. Bryce Miller's been awesome. Because of that, they're going to have to deal Castillo and get a couple consistent bats in that order.
If you say so. Hey, listen, all that matters is we've got live bullets and the A's are leading the Rays 3-1, top of 8. So, big guy, we go 2-0 right here.
No, let's get it.
The A's in the under, 7.5.
One more out, get in the hands of Mason Miller, and this thing's cashed.
Let's go. Let's go. Speaking of let's go, more bets. Bets on bets. We're going to go 2-0, and I don't believe in jinxes, so I'm good with declaring a winner here, okay? It's now time we're going to get to our buddy John Bowman with a family play.
Yeah, you know John Bowman appears on the show a lot, does really well with baseball. He was a former scout in the Toronto Blue Jays system, part of the development process for Bo Bichette, Vlad Guerrero Jr. Now he shares his baseball knowledge with you on Twitter at JohnBowman11, baseball with Bowman, all of his plays available there. And here he is with a Sharp Money family play for today.
Sharp Money, family play.
What's up, Sharp Money? It's John Bowman from Baseball with Bowman, and I just wanted to give you guys my favorite play of the day. We're going to go with the Astros +130 against the Orioles. It's Spencer Arrighetti against Corbin Burns. Arrighetti's been a little more hit or miss. He either pitches really well or he really struggles. Corbin Burns hasn't been pitching nearly as well lately. He's been walking guys. He's been giving up runs. But the main thing here is the Astros have the second best bullpen in the league since the trade deadline. They could be without a reliever or two, but they should have just about everyone available. On the other side, the Orioles have the worst bullpen in the league since the trade deadline. They've surpassed the Red Sox, and that's impressive because the Orioles' bullpen ERA is over 6 now. So I like the Astros at plus money against the Orioles here.
Bowman, former scout with the Ray, excuse me, with the Jays, going to take the Orioles. No.
No.
You take the plus price?
Astros plus 130.
Astros plus price. My bad. I apologize. I was taking a look at the update. It looks like we are going to get to the bottom of the eighth here with the A's up 3-1. Okay, so Paul Skeens is pitching tonight, and I'm just taking a look at the updated number. So again, this is the importance of shopping for the best number. You can find Skeens opposite Lodolo in Cincinnati. Now, this is in Pittsburgh. You can find them as low as $1.44 in the market, as high as $1.55. No surprise here, with the total being 7. The big conversation around Skeens is just, what was it, 21 days ago, he was minus 4,200 to win the NL Rookie of the Year. He is now a dog. He's coming back at plus 120 with Jackson Merrill at minus 150. And during the break, the big guy said, you know what, I'm going to tie up some cash here. I'm going to go Skeens.
I said if it got to plus money again, I had to jump in. I think there's been a miscalculation by the market when it comes to Paul Skeens. The thought is he's going to get treated like every other rookie pitcher we've ever seen, with kick gloves, protect him, put him in bubble wrap, make sure he's good for next year. But Paul Skeens has done things that no other pitcher as a rookie has done. He's been must-watch TV. There's a hype train behind him winning this award, and that narrative factors into things. And then while we were on the air, Patrick, this was reported by Andrew Destin, who covers the Pirates. Manager Derek Shelton on Paul Skeens, quote, "There is no immediate plan to shut him down. There has never been any immediate plans to shut him down. How we monitor that, whether it's an innings limit or a workload limit per game, we'll be thoughtful about that. But they're not having these discussions. They're going to let him go. It is massive for him to learn how to pitch deep into a season. Also, I think this organization needs some energy. They need some positive momentum. Paul Skeens pitching every fifth day over the course of the next month and a half, that's a few more starts for him. He's not going to get hurt in that process, knock on wood. So at plus 140, I just like Paul Skeens, who has been the most dominant story in baseball this year, to win this award.
No, this is going to be the complete opposite take, and this is going to frustrate people because you talk about people being soft and everybody gets a trophy. I just point to Steven Strasburg. He goes out there in a meaningless start. I don't believe in momentum carrying over to the next year with the Pirates. The Pirates are out of it. There's nothing to gain from it. It's like playing, you know, Aaron Rodgers this Saturday against the Giants. What is the point? He is the future. He could potentially be a Hall of Famer. Stop jerking around. put them in bubble wrap and let's go next year, buckos.
I see. I'd make the claim that because Washington did that to Strasburg earlier in his career, that's why he never was able to fully stretch out and stay healthy.
Okay. Then we can, again, he also had an inverse W delivery.
We
don't have to get into it. You know exactly what your brother coaches these pitchers. Yeah. So we understand he had the inverse dub. However, we started the show with the big news. And I think you could argue now, because we were having this conversation with Samich last week, if you eliminate the tight end, the best wide receiver trio in football, we were talking maybe it's the Bears. Who else did we throw in the mix?
With receiver?
As far as the trio. I mean, you can go Miami just because it's so top-heavy.
Yeah, well, and Beckham, me and Samich were higher on Beckham than you, but Beckham I don't even think has practiced in like 2 weeks. Niners.
You could go Niners, but here's what I would argue. And Ayuk, there's no news. I think you could easily argue A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Jahan Dotson as wide receiver three.
And then adding Goddard, adding Barkley to that offense. Like, what are we doing here? Why are you got NFL GMs? Why are you just letting the Eagles have these players that they can figure out how to use better than you?
So the Commanders traded the 2022 first-round pick, Jahan Dotson, and a 2025 fifth-round pick to the Eagles in exchange for a third-round pick and 2 seventh-round picks in 2025. That was the news to start the day. Big news, if we're being fair. The Eagles get better. The rich get richer. Bottom eight, one out, 3-1. A's. Let's go. Close tabs. Couple minutes left in the program.
You mentioned the inverted W. Reminds me of Daniel LaRusso, Karate Kid, when he does the, what is it? The crane. The crane. That's what he does there.
The crane?
Yeah. He puts his arm in the legs up. He stands on one leg, and then he you've never seen the Karate Kid? Hops, kicks the guy in the face.
Karate Kid. The thing that freaked me out about the Karate Kid is when they went to that Halloween party and that dude with the mask on.
Oh,
was scary.
Yeah, dressed as skeletons. Also, I want to settle an internet debate that's happening. If you're not on Twitter, this might go over your head, but humans didn't actually invent walking. Animals evolved over Earth's history. The earliest evidence is a lizard-like orbite in Germany about 290 million years ago. Air-breathing fish, in fact, at that time, were walking in the water.
No kidding. Dustin, during the show about 2 minutes ago, I just declined a phone call. Want me to read you the voicemail? This is going to blow you away.
Oh, my God.
Hey, this is number 7. Michael Vick, former pro quarterback, football, is back in my team. That the U.S. has a free copy for your account with no deposit necessary. Michael Vick called me to make me deposit into a sports betting account.
Maybe there's a good bonus involved.
I can't believe I just missed Michael Vick.
You know, that guy doesn't bet on underdogs.
It's not bad. What else?
Remington Park, the horse racing track. Remington Park, Oklahoma City, built in 1988 by Edward J. DeBartolo, I can't say his name, DeBartolo Sr., who was the owner of the 49ers.
Yeah, DeBartolo.
Yeah, DeBartolo, that's it. They also own the Penguins.
He built Remington?
Yeah.
That's a good nugget.
Yeah.
We're betting Remington tonight. Aaron Halterman came on. This is a 926 post. And we are betting in race 5, the 4-horse Prince Rama at Remington.
Do it. Let's ride.
Underdogs. I don't even want to laugh at that. I got a dog laying next to me. That's mean. It's a good great job today, big guy. You had a great show.
Fun day.
I'll see you tomorrow, hopefully.
Maybe.
Do a great job tomorrow as well. We'll see you tomorrow here on Sharp Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.